Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
What's up, ladies?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So let's just get it off the table, on the table. I don't know. I'm a little tipsy already. Natalie's not happy about this episode. I think we just need to get that out there.
Well, I just feel like I'm a very opinionated person, and I feel like that's maybe something hopefully that people enjoy.
What? You're opinionated?
Somebody has a lot of thoughts and things that they want to say. And I just kind of felt like both of these movies were and it didn't really pull anything out of me exciting or not exciting. So,
okay. Spoiler alert. In case you just didn't want to listen to the episode, you got Natalie's Natalie's two cents already.
But it doesn't mean that that's your guys' shared opinion. If you guys want to hear a dialogue between three people about two movies.
Welcome to the Martini Scale.
Pour yourself a martini and enjoy.
Well, Natalie, I think maybe let's set the tone a little bit. Before we dive into how we're doing and what we're talking about today, why don't you just tell us about the martini we're drinking tonight?
I mean, honestly, like, this is probably my least amount of effort into a martini. I apologize for everybody. It doesn't have a cute name. It's just a rose martini because I figured both of these are kind of romantic comedies. And so I felt like that kind of worked. But quite frankly, I wish I'd gone with like a Hawaiian themed martini and gotten some flowers and stuff like that. But I did not have enough time to prep for this episode. So
Natalie, I really wanted this to be called the other teeny. That's really what I was hoping for here.
We did that with the other woman, martini.
Okay. Well, nobody remembers that episode.
Oh, it was literally only two episodes ago.
That episode feels like we recorded it 20 years ago. I'm sorry. I don't know what day it is anymore.
You also did something different with this.
Yeah, I used gin. Mm-hmm. I never used gin.
Yeah.
How's it taste? So,
it's actually really good.
Oh my God. That makes me excited.
Did you use the Ryan Reynolds Aviation gin?
No, we used it's
Gray Whale Fin.
Gray Whale gin or something like that.
So, I haven't actually tried Aviator gin yet, but I want to.
I have. It's delicious. Just like I would expect the Ryan Reynolds anything to be.
Well, I need to get some. Ryan, if you're out there, send me a bottle and we'll make some martinis.
Yeah. So this, I mean, it's not bad for a very quick martini. And about 20 minutes before, I was like, oh, I don't have any simple syrup. So I made a very quick simple syrup. And then it's that, a little bit of lime juice, rose water, and gin.
Sweet. Well, it looks delicious. I'm sure it tastes as good as it looks.
All things that people just happen to have in their home.
Right. Rose water. During quarantine.
Hey, I happen to have two bottles of it. I'm sorry.
I believe you. In fact, if anyone is like, if you ever need any alcoholic mixer ingredient, Natalie likely has it in her kitchen or in her bar.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a last minute episode that we threw together. And I think that when I say threw it together, we had a different plan for what we were going to talk about this week. And it was kind of weird because, so let me just backtrack a little bit and tell you my train of thought and you can tell me if I'm crazy. But we've been talking for a while about doing an episode where we're going to discuss all of the stuff that we're streaming in terms of like television type content. And really excited for that episode. I think it's going to be a fun episode because I'm really passionate about the stuff that I want to talk about, and I'm sure you guys are too. But what we realized this week is that there's actually a show that's coming out this weekend. By the time you listen to this, it probably will be out already, but that we want to talk about. So in order for us to be able to incorporate that into the discussion, we thought we'd do something a little bit different this week. All right, so this week we are back with our Netflix and chill, quarantine and stream. I don't know what the fuck we're calling it this week. I don't even know. Honestly, I had a thought today. I was like, it's almost June. Like, just let that sink in for a second. Because we have been, well, Natalie hasn't. Natalie's gallivanting about town, but we'll get to that in a minute. We have been trapped in our homes for, it feels like years at this point. And it's May.
We have lost all of April and all of May.
And most of March. Most of March.
Most of March.
I just
2 months.
I want to say that my birthday is in, what, 2 months now. And I'm not counting 2020. I'm going to stay the same age through 2021. Because I don't think it's fair that we're losing all this time in our lives. And I have to age another year. Like, fuck you. It's not right. So I'm just putting it out there.
I completely agree.
Awesome.
Well, I get to skip the big 4-0 altogether, I guess, if you put it that way. So what, I have to be 40 again next year? No. Yep. I'm going to be 41.
Okay. Nope. Well, all I want to say is that by the time it's Natalie's birthday, we will hopefully have back normalcy in our lives and a new president. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we're not going to have we're not going to have that by her birthday, first of all.
No.
And then
you don't think we'll have elected a new president by November, the end of November?
We will not.
But
I'm
her birthday is at the beginning of November.
But we will not.
But yeah, well, I'm saying like the voting date, whatever.
Yeah.
So we won't have it before her birthday. And also, we're not going to have concerts. We can't go anywhere. We're not going to be able to celebrate. So I'll give you some balloons.
Okay, Debbie Downers.
I just want you to we're going to cancel this whole year.
I just want you to get to a place that you start to figure out how to cope with what is going to happen in November.
Oh, are we talking about the presidency right now? Oh.
Yes, we are.
You think he's going to win?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh my God. I can't talk about this. It's literally going to get me too upset right now. I have enough stress and anxiety in my life.
Just don't think about it because, you know, I wish we could push that back, but we can't.
I'm like sweating over here. This isn't good.
I wish California could be its own country.
Yeah.
Same.
Brexit.
See. All right. Well, in other news, we're talking about movies on this podcast, believe it or not. And this week we're discussing two of the latest Netflix films. First, I almost called it The Other Missy. I don't know why. I keep calling it that. The first one is called The Wrong Missy. And it's a 2020 comedy directed by Tyler Spindell. The screenplay was written by Chris Pappas and Kevin Barnett. It stars David Spade and Laura Lapkus and was released on Netflix in May of 2020, which it still is currently. All right. The other film is a little more complicated. It's called The Lovebirds, and it is also a 2020 romantic comedy directed by Michael Showalter.
Yep.
For screenplay by Aaron Abrams and Brandon Gall. A lot of people wrote the story that I'm not going to mention their names. Sorry. The film stars Issa Rae, Kumail Nanjiani, Paul Sparks, Anna Kemp, and Kyle Bornheimer, and follows a couple who goes on the run after witnessing a murder. And this one, I think, is a little bit more interesting because it was originally scheduled for a theatrical release by Paramount Pictures in April of this year. And it was delayed, obviously, to the fucking craziness that's going on in the world right now. And so Netflix ended up buying it and released it in May of 2020. And I have to say that, like, I think that I was really excited to see this film in theaters. I remember seeing the trailer back when we had normal movie-going experiences. And I don't know what happened. I guess we'll get into it. But I was really excited for this movie. And then, yeah, then I watched it. So I guess we'll get into some of that. But first, I want to see how you ladies are doing.
Good. You know. Ugh. You know, as good
as good as it gets.
Good. Ugh.
Good. A lot of things irritate me. I'm, you know, definitely over it, but then frustrated that it seems like everybody's over it, but then kind of is doing whatever the fuck they want to do. And, you know, there's some work environments that are, you know, just going right back to the office. And it's like, are we going to talk about this? Do we want to have some protocols in play? You know, it seems like people are so eager to go back to what things were, which I appreciate. Obviously, I loved that. But am I going to go to a fucking concert right now or into a room full of a ton of people? No. And it just kind of seems like what has changed so dramatically that now everybody just go out on the lake this weekend because it's Memorial Day. It's irritating.
Yeah, I think as somebody that has been, as you guys know, I mean, I tease you guys and I understand that like you're hanging out with people that are also like quarantining or whatever, but I literally have still not hung out with anyone. And I think that as someone that's really trying to respect, you know, the situation and the circumstance of what's going on right now, it really kind of angers me that there's so many people that are not doing that, because I feel, to be quite candid, it makes me feel like I've wasted the last fucking, 3 months of my life now for these people that, you know, can't seem to, I don't know, obey the rules or whatever it is. And it's just like, it's the best analogy I heard a couple weeks ago was someone was saying that, like, it feels like we're all doing this group project, and as usual, like, there's people that, like, actually do the work in the group project and the others that are just, like, you know, sitting it out and having a good time. And yeah. I was always that person in school, and so I'm like, oh cool, so in life I guess it makes sense that I would be too. But, and I know that most people are still, you know, obeying the rules and such, but it's just frustrating to me, because trust me, I want to get back to my normal life just as much as anybody else does, but we're not there yet. And I think it's especially frustrating in California to see all these crazy people that are, you know, going and, like, I don't know, when I go for a drive, which is like the one thing that brings me sanity most days, that I'm able to do that, I just see people gallivanting out and about like it's just summer in LA, and I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, this isn't, nobody learned a lesson, and we're never going to clean this up because people can't have nice things. I don't know. It's frustrating.
Lena?
I mean, I still feel, I guess, the same I've always kind of felt, just like, this is what we have to do, and this is just what we have to do. I guess for some reason I'm always kind of like, oh, not a rule breaker. I mean, I am, but like not when it comes to certain things. So like for me, I'm just like, no, I'm just, we're not supposed to be doing that. I don't want to be doing that. Like, I don't know. I'm frustrated because like people are frustrated, and I'm frustrated with what I see on TV that they are all doing and kind of ruining what we've accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think that's what frustrates me the most. Because I'm sitting here watching it from my TV and not at the beach with everyone else.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, I don't want to be at the beach with everyone else. Like, I don't want to be next to you. Like, like, stay away from me. Like, I still don't trust it. I don't trust being out there. I've always kind of been a bit OCD anyway. So it's like, for me, I'm like, no, I never trusted people in that sense to be clean. So I'm definitely not trusting you now, especially you're breaking the rules.
You like, know, it's really weird that you say that.
You're the person who doesn't wash your hands.
Yeah, it's weird that you say that, because I have made no secret for people that are like close to me in my life that I've had, I don't want to say suffered from, but I've had like, my anxiety has gotten progressively worse over the last, I would say, 5 years of my life. And it's been a really interesting like thought experiment going through this whole scenario, because I've asked myself like every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, how is my anxiety like going to be going forward? Because now I feel like those of us that have anxiety and deal with this actually have a reason to feel anxious. And as we begin to your point, Natalie, like go back out into the world and go back into the office and, you know, whatever, it's like we have like legitimate fears of what could happen, you know, if the worst case scenario unfolds. And I don't know when I'm going to come out of my house again. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like for me. And I don't know. I've had people that are like, oh, well, you've been in quarantine, just come over and hang out or whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that because I don't know where you've been. And then I start to like distrust my friends. And then I start to, and then it's like, I don't want to live like that, but fuck, like,
yeah.
I also don't want to die from this,
yeah,
you know, illness. And so I don't know. This is becoming a totally different type of podcast, well, right now, but
yeah, I've never been that kind of person that's afraid of things. So like, I'm not, it's not that I'm like afraid of that. It's just like, I just know that it's there. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. It's like,
I think it's more respecting also the situation, yeah, and the rules in place and the whole reason why we're doing it. And so, yeah, it's like, as much as like we live in an apartment where it's like, we are right on top of a, you know, a groups of people in our building, you know, there's only 7 apartments here, but it's like, yeah, we're right up close with everybody. So it's kind of been nice to, hey, we're all talking and saying hi. And if we're drinking on the patio, somebody comes and sits down. It's like, we're all using the same washing machine. We're kind of all in this together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually been really quite nice because we've gotten to know our neighbors even more so. And it seems like everybody in our building is really kind of following, you know, most of the rules and stuff. So it's not about, you know, even us feeling like we can't get sick, but it's more of like, if these are the things that have been established, then it's like, yeah, then I'm not going to go crazy and go to the beach every single weekend and go lay out and bring my towel and do all that. It's like, I'm going to go sit in my backyard or whatever. And it's just like, you know, the opportunity I had to like finally see my family, when it's like, well, I'm not seeing people, you're not seeing people, let's finally, we're all healthy, let's give it a try, you know?
Yeah. And by sit in your backyard, I think what you really mean is hang out in the kiddie pool, because that's really what's been happening according to the social media.
I love that pool.
Which, kudos to you. So they're opening, allegedly they're opening
which up. Which she's used once for 3 hours.
Well, it's summer's just unfolding, sweetheart, so I'm sure she's going to be using it a lot more. But what's interesting is that
she sent it to me. So let's, we got to, you know, how much am I supposed to use?
We did miss a little bit of the May gray, so maybe you'll miss some of your June gloom.
Yeah. I'm excited to pump that bad boy back up.
So speaking of things opening back up, as you guys know, Runyon is like my, it's like, it's kind of my therapy. It's like the place that I go to, I don't know, like it overlooks the city and I feel at peace and I have my music. And it's just like, it's the time in my week, usually like on the weekends, typically when I just feel like all is right in the world. And so, as you guys know, I had a close friend that actually had this disease and was in the hospital on a ventilator, and he's made pretty much a full recovery. And we've been talking, that's how long we've been going through this, which is crazy to me. But we've been talking pretty consistently, and he texted me today and he said, I'm going to Runyon tomorrow. And I was like, no, you're not. I was like, nobody's going to Runyon right now. And he's like, no, it opened today. And I was like, what? Oh my God. And so I'm actually like kind of excited that like that's open again, and they're, you know, they've got some rules in place and such, and I'm excited to go and have that experience. And then they're opening the pool in my building this weekend, which is kind of interesting. I wish you guys could see Natalie's face, because she got a level of excited that I have never seen Natalie get before.
Well, I don't know. She got that level excited when that pool arrived.
Oh my God.
So my thought is that I would love to, I think like over, maybe not this week, but over the next few weeks, I'm open to the idea of like starting to have people over and just like sitting outside on the patio by the pool and having wine nights. Like that to me is kind of the thing that I miss the most in terms of like social interaction. Yeah. So get ready, people. It's going to start happening summer 2020.
Good.
You should do Griffith. I did that the other day. It was torturous for me for many different reasons that we won't go into, but you should, like, there were not a lot of people, and really? You could bring your dog on a leash. And it was like overlooking the city.
Seem to
like,
be a hiker
it was
to me.
Actually really nice, and like big wide trails. And I think you'd like it.
Did you say Lena doesn't seem like a hiker to you?
No, I said Cooper doesn't seem like a hiker to me.
My dog is the biggest prima donna in the world. He's literally looking at me on the couch right now, like, what are you saying? he's not a hiker. I make the joke, like Leonardo DiCaprio, and I forget what movie it was, but he makes a joke where he's like, I'm more of an indoor boy. And my dog is like more of an indoor dog. Like he is just doesn't like being outside. And yeah, it's a thing. But I do have to share something really interesting. So I don't think I've ever told you guys this before, but I was part of a test group, if you will, on Instagram, where up until very, very recently, and by recently, I mean about a week ago, I never saw an ad on Instagram.
Oh,
not a single ad. And it wasn't until like probably a month or two ago where I found out that I was actually part of a small group that was like a test group where you just didn't see ads. And what I learned this week.
So you didn't know you signed up for it, or?
I never signed up for it. They don't ask you to sign up.
They just randomly picked
you. Correct. Just when they started introducing ads, I was never part of the people that saw them. But what I learned is that they were clearly studying me very intently, because I started seeing ads about a week and a half ago, and I have been buying pretty much everything that they present to me in an ad. Over the last like almost 2 weeks now, I cannot tell you, like, Instagram ads are like my new favorite thing. Like I'm like, I go on Instagram because I'm like, what are they going to show me? What am I going to buy today? Like, it's fucking crazy.
What are the things that you bought?
Okay, so I just bought a $200 fake plant for my living room.
Oh,
I
shit. Bought Artaplanto?
Artaplanto, yeah. Yep. I bought...
my God. You sucker.
I bought these really cool t-shirts that I'm excited to get. I miss shopping. I think probably more than my friends, love you all dearly, but I miss shopping the most. Like, I miss going to the mall and just spending money. It was my favorite thing to do.
That's open now, too.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going back there. Because I've got Instagram shopping now, so it's totally fine.
Well, I had an issue when I finally... Because I have been doing mostly, like, Instacart and things like that. I haven't really gone out to go shopping in a long time. And a couple weeks ago, we needed to go to Target to get a few things. Ugh. And it turned into three hours?
Oh, wow.
Two or three hours. I spent an enormous amount of money. Like, way too much money. I don't understand what... Lena was like, why do you need that? I'm like, I don't, but I want it. And I'm here, and I just went fucking apeshit.
You deserve it. Because
I was
fine.
It was like, I see all these things, and it's like, I didn't even buy any clothes. I never walked into the clothing department. I never walked into the shoe department. So it's like, I did some damage in a very limited section of areas.
I mean, here's the thing. I probably like Target. I have not been to Target in months because they have this thing called Shipt, which is basically like they deliver anything you want from Target, and it works really well, and it arrives, and it's perfect. So I have not actually been to a Target in a long time, but I still spend about $100 a week on my Target deliveries, and I make no apologies for that because it just shows up and the person is really friendly and they text me and they're like, oh, they're out of this. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. That's kind. Can you get this instead? And they're like, sure. It's just great. Anyway, point being, I love to shop. I have treated myself to, today I bought some pants. I don't know when I'm going to wear them, but I'm really excited. Actually, I want to go back to the office so bad because I'm just like, I have all these cute new clothes and I want to wear them. And I can't, but maybe I'll wear them to our wine night. It's fine.
Yeah. The only clothes I've purchased have been loungewear. So I've added to that collection.
I did that at the beginning, but I think that like now I'm buying clothes that I like because I've never been like I don't dress up by any means, but I like to be a little bit fashionable. And anyway, I bought these pants today. I'm really excited to wear them. They come, I think tomorrow they arrive with my plants. So I'm actually, it's going to be a great weekend.
I can't wait to see this plant.
I'm also getting a new couch. I'm getting a new entertainment center. I bought a Sonos soundbar. I'm telling you right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. From Instagram ads?
Well, no, those things were just things that I've been wanting.
I was like, damn.
No, I mean, so I have a theory that I'm like, you know what? If I'm trapped in this place for the next however many months, I want to have like nicer furniture. I want to have, you know, I'm thinking about getting a new TV, even though I already have a nice TV. I don't know. I'm ready. I'm ready to just make this
burning money on fire.
Yeah, it's fine.
Lighting money on fire. I finished my martini.
Yeah, same.
You just be burning money on fire.
Burning a fire in your pocket with money.
Yeah.
Burning a hole in your pocket, Lena. I think that's this phrase.
Yeah.
So we are 30 minutes into the Martini Scale podcast where we talk about film, and we have not talked about any films. And
we'll fill in the space.
I'm okay with that. I hope the audience is fine with that. I think that you guys just want to hang out with us, so it's fine. That's really what this podcast is about. We happen to talk about movies, but you just love us so much that that's what this is, right?
Yeah. We have to have that audience by now, right?
I hope so. God willing. All right, so should we dive into these movies? I don't think we're gonna spend very much time talking about the movies today because there's not much to say, but I think we should start with, what is it, my favorite Missy, the other Missy,
the wrong
same thing, it's whatever, fine, okay, the wrong, I wrote the wrong nanny. I don't know why I wrote that in my notes. God. I'm getting my movies confused. Natalie, I told you this was going to be a fun episode. Natalie didn't believe me. I was like, we're going to make it work. And here we are. I'm also sweating my ass off because I can't turn on my air. okay, I'm going to get started on this one because I have just very limited thoughts on this film and I want to share them. I have my signature rant for the next one, but for this one, I just have very basic thoughts. It felt to me like an Adam Sandler movie from the 90s, which... I think that in these strange times, I was actually kind of comforting to have a movie like this. I thought it was funny. It was mindless. It was entertaining. It was ridiculously predictable, from the moment he called the wrong person, I was like, okay, here we go. This is fine. Or texted the wrong person.
It's in the title.
Exactly. Exactly. If you can't figure out the predictability from the title, then you are not paying attention. So I don't know. As you know, I love movies that allow you to, especially right now, allow you to just kind of escape. I love movies that are set in Hawaii. Is like my favorite place on the planet. And so the fact that most of this movie was filmed in Hawaii, I was just like, you know what?
Any Happy Madison movie is going to be in Hawaii because they know how to do it right.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So I was
take
like,
take everyone to Hawaii for 2 months.
Totally. So I was along for the ride. It was nice to see David Spade. I don't even know when the last time I saw him was. What, 1997? I don't know. It was fine. That's my word for this film is fine. It was fine.
His show got canceled, boo.
He had a show?
He had like a talk show, like a comedy talk show.
Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. I just was confused why they made him look like such a fuddy-duddy. Like, to me, it was just, I know David Spade kind of always has this sort of like short guy swag, funny guy type of thing, and he's been able to get a lot of chicks and stuff like that. So it's like, and then you're gonna pair him up with Molly Sims, and this just doesn't seem
but
to
that's
fit
why
at
they
all.
Made him look like a fuddy duddy, because they want to say like, look, fuddy duddies can get Molly Sims.
So I will agree with Natalie though here, that was not believable to me. So the fact that what's her name liked him, I was like, okay, I can buy into that, because he's like, you know, funny and charming.
It's about his personality, it's not about how he
but his
looks.
He didn't exemplify the type of personality that would make someone like Molly Sims fall in love with him or even be interested in like seeing him again.
Yeah, so, his personality was boring too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. David Spade was not the primary attraction in this film, I don't think. I know that they're billing it as such, but it's not, I don't know.
Oh, I love him.
But it's like his hair looked fucking awful. It seemed like he was wearing a wig the entire time.
Oh!
Poor Nick Swartzen looked god awful.
Oh, okay, well.
I like just feel, I don't know what the fuck happened there. It just, I love Happy Madison. I love all the movies that they make. There's a certain level of like ease and enjoyment to it. And I think they've always been the like ugly guy with the hot girl trope. And that's been their shtick. Like, fine, whatever, you know. Yeah. But I think that there's always some like really redeeming qualities about those characters that you end up kind of like falling in love with Adam Sandler in each of these movies, or Kevin James, or whatever it is. And as much I was watching it going, wait, I used to like David Spade. Like, I was trying to remember a time when I like did think that he was like that same version of a like Adam Sandler, where it's like you go into it and you're like, am I supposed to be attracted to this person? Like, do they want me to be? And then you're like, oh, yeah, he's so sweet. I like him. And, you know, and it just, I was trying to remember if I felt that way about David Spade ever.
Well, I feel like what I remember about David Spade and liking about him and his comedy was that he kind of was that small guy jerk. And he did think he was too big for his britches kind of thing. So I don't think that it was ever we're supposed to fall in love with David Spade. I think he's always kind of been a little bit of a jerk, like in his way about him. But I thought in this one, you know, even though he still was kind of a little bit of a jerk, he was more of like a lovable jerk more in this, because I guess he was in a romantic comedy, which normally I don't see
more
him
like
in
a doofus, where it's just like,
well, you like doofuses. Like, I know you hate, like, you try to like say you don't like doofuses. But you like doofuses.
I was gonna say, Natalie, we are literally talking about your type, so I don't understand. I also want to say for the record, there is not, other than like maybe there's like a hint of charm, there is nothing attractive about David Spade. So I don't even know where that went off the rails, because he is not an attractive man.
Back in Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, like SNL, I liked
1993.
But he had Chris Farley, and you loved the bromance. That's why.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But it's, you know,
it's the bromance that's there. But he was a jerk.
He was a jerk, and I liked that more than I liked the like innocent doofus polo shirt wearing blah blah blah. Like, come on, have a cocktail. Ugh.
Okay, I don't even know what to do with that. That's too much.
We're not dating sober people, so yeah, just put that out there. Put it on your Tinder profiles. If you don't drink, you better let us know.
No, they do that. What? Which one is it? Is it? I think it's Bumble, where you can say like, "I smoke weed, I drink, I'm an alcoholic," like, and it, you can actually like give the level of like what you do. So you're like, I drink socially.
Give a certain level. Like, you know how many times people have been like, you know, or do you think you're an alcoholic? Because I have a glass of wine every day. Sorry, I do.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying though. Like, I unapologetically. I'm very honest about when I fill out those profiles. I'm like, yeah, I drink, and it's not just socially. Socially is like, oh, who drinks socially? That's like the dumbest thing ever. If you just drink socially.
Well, I'm social every day, so I drink every day.
But I drink by myself. I drink by myself. So I don't think that's social because I'm not being social. I'm pouring a bottle of wine for Sean.
We were watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills before this, and they were drinking rosé and wine tasting. She was like, I should be having drinks with them. she poured herself a glass of wine.
I was like, I haven't had any alcohol today. I normally drink wine anyways, but I was like, oh, they're wine tasting. I want some wine.
I mean, listen, the Vanderpump Rules cast and the Housewives are my friends. Like, that's who I hang out with because that's, I don't know. Like, if they're drinking, I'm drinking.
I have to have drinks with them.
Totally. It's fine. No judgment. No judgment. All right. Any other thoughts on this one?
I think your word for it was perfect. It was fine. Yeah. I think
it was fine.
You know, I didn't hate it. I was like annoyed by the wrong Missy the first part of the movie, and then she grew on me.
Yeah.
Just like she does David.
Same. Yeah, just like she does David, where I was like, okay, I actually don't hate you at all, and I think that there's like a weird charm to your just absurdity,
endearing, you know, that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even like when she did that like character in the bathtub the first time, I was laughing and I was like, this poor girl is just really going for it as the actress. I was like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's just doing the thing.
Okay,
you know?
Can we talk about that though? Who is she? Where have I seen her before? Because she has that like familiarity about her that I know I've seen her in something, but I have no idea what.
She's been like SNL? Big into like improv, and so she's been in a lot of comedies. She was in an HBO show with Pete Holmes. I don't know if you watched that at all. That Crashing. But she was in Orange Is the New Black. She played one of the.
Yeah, that's what I remember her from.
She was in Jurassic World. She's been in like a good amount of stuff. She's been a part of like comedy and improv troupes for a while, so she's kind of been in that group for a long time. She has
When I first saw her, 91. Oh, okay. When I first saw her, I was like, "Wait, is she on SNL?" Because I don't.
She looks like
SNL
she's
anymore.
On SNL. She reminds me
she
of someone
looks
on
like
SNL.
She should be.
Yeah,
totally. But she's not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
So that's what I thought. And then she was like, no. And then I was like, oh, right. The Orange Is the New Black cop. And I was like, got it.
Okay.
Because I recognize her face for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned an HBO show. We're going to talk about HBO Max and the mess that service is fucking next week. So stay tuned.
Hey.
Can't wait.
Okay.
All right. Should we score this one?
Sure. Yeah. I'll go 3. Whatever. Mm.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm a 3. It's like a Netflix. It's like your typical Netflix movie. I could see why Netflix bought it. The whole time I'm thinking like, okay, fine. This is Netflix. You've set the bar at a very specific place. And
well, I think also too, Adam Sandler and his company, Happy Madison, have a very specific contract with Netflix, and they're pumping these things out. And you know, they always look good. They may not always be the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're slightly funny. But they're very Happy Madison.
You know what?
It's like they've turned into this weird comedy version of like Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's a churn and burn situation, and it's not necessarily
That's a perfect way to say it, Nat.
It's the Hallmark movie of Netflix. Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Perfect. It's, you know what? I went back and watched, what was the Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler one?
Just go with it.
No, the Netflix one.
Oh,
Murder Mystery.
Yeah, I went back and watched that because I was like, you know what? So my filter right now is like for movies in quarantine is kind of like, where do I want to go tonight? So I was thinking like kind of European, kind of funny. What movie would that be? Oh, there it is. It's the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston Netflix movie. And I watched it again and it was like the same as it was the first time. I don't know. It was fine. All these movies are fine.
Separately, I started watching Scoob. And I was getting like a little tired and I was like, I actually want to be awake for this because I like it.
So I know Natalie.
So I haven't finished it. Head. I need to go I'm back. And Natalie is shaking her head at me. But I was like, I kind of like it.
Okay. You know what? Natalie's going to sit this one out. Lena
Why
and I
are we friends?
Lena Why and I are going to do our private episode of Scoob that we'll have on the Patreon account, whatever.
Hey, I actually have a great go back and time. Watch it. We'll watch it tonight, Nat. We'll watch it tonight.
We'll have You're a real good drunk. Time.
I did not sign up for this.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Scoob. Let's just go on a tangent for a second.
Force it on you.
Here's the thing with Scoob. I bought it because I was feeling nostalgic and I was like, you know what? I want to support more than anything else. I mean, I wanted to see the movie or I wouldn't have paid for it. But I bought it also because I'm really of the mindset that I want the studios. And I haven't actually looked at the numbers to see how it did. But I want the studios to release movies on VOD either simultaneously with their theater release or before or whatever. But like, I want to see more of this straight to VOD because I don't know when I'm going to go back to the movie theater. We talked about the anxiety piece before. And like, even if they opened up next week, I'm not going to go back. Like, I'm not going to go see Tenet on July 19th. I'm sorry, as much as I want to, I'm just not.
Nope.
So yeah. If they don't release that on VOD, I'm not going to watch that this summer. And I want to see it though. And I have a very nice, as I've told you before, I've set up a very nice home theater in my home. And so yes. I am prepared to pay $30 to watch this movie or whatever it means. But I want to see more of that. And so I felt like Scoob and whatever the other movies they've been doing that with have been a good introduction into like, can we test the waters with this? And I think the answer is yes. And so I don't know. It was a cartoon. I don't love cartoons, but you know what? I enjoyed it. It was funny. Lena, go back and watch the rest of it because
I'm going to.
It's entertaining. I mean, it's like a Scooby-Doo episode. It's
and
not.
Here's the thing. She ended up liking Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and that's a cartoon.
And it's done and by the same production company.
And she was like, that's the best movie of the year.
Natalie,
so like,
Natalie.
Not saying that Scoob is going to be best movie of the year, but like, you got to give sometimes them a chance.
It's not as good as the Spider-Verse, but let me
Her
tell you what.
Face right now is Stanky the Stank.
What she doesn't know is that it's the same producers that did Into the Spider-Verse.
You told me. Okay. I don't care.
Oh.
Okay, well, listen, you go be ignorant about your film selection, okay? Miss hoity-toity, whatever. I'm telling
hoity-toity, bougie-bouge.
It was a fucking Cheers with my empty glass here, but
oh.
What I'm saying is that it was a good movie. Like, I enjoyed it, and it looks great in 4K. And it's
I'm gonna make whatever. Her watch it tonight. Don't
make worry. Her watch
no,
it.
No, you're okay. not. I will lock myself in my room.
Okay. You know what? Just take an edible, and have a good time. Take an edible and enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Did we score this?
We yeah. did.
Okay.
Did we all gave it threes across the board.
We all gave it a three? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, so before we move on, I have two things I want to say. First of all, I have had almost a bottle of wine and I've had no dinner yet, and it's pretty late. It's pretty
10
late.
10 o'clock.
Yeah. So I can't wait to crack open the pint of Ben and Jerry's after we're done. I also want to say that chocolate fudge brownie is like it's literally my go-to every night. I don't care if I'm getting fat. I don't care. It's just it is what it is. I also want to say that
I told my friend that Baskin Robbins delivered and she ordered a whole thing of ice cream tonight. She was like, God damn it, why did you tell me that? I'm like, lady, everyone delivers.
I was gonna
now.
Say everybody delivers. I actually yeah. treated myself to some pickup sticks the other night, and I have to say that it was like oh. It's the only thing I've ordered in the
is
last
that
3 months.
Tiny little Chinese restaurant? Pickup sticks?
You know what it is?
Did you say pickup sticks?
I did. You know what it is? It is a, I feel like Natalie
is
would.
Is it like a Panda Express? Is it like a fancy?
It's a fancier Panda
like
Express.
A shiny food place?
I feel like Natalie will appreciate this more than you will, Lena, because I feel like really what it is, pickup sticks
clearly
is like.
Clearly the Asian is not going to appreciate
it. No, the Asian won't appreciate it. But I feel like pickup sticks is more of like a OC. It's like a nice OC fast food Chinese food restaurant. It's really more OC yeah. than anywhere else. And
it's
a
chain.
Oh, for okay. sure.
I happened to drive to the Valley to get it, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
I drove all the way to Studio City to get this fucking orange chicken, and it was a taste sensation.
No, you didn't.
Oh, bitch, yes, I did. I have no shame. I'll go there. What else am I going to do on a Sunday?
That's commitment, babe.
What else am I going to do on a Sunday? It was like Memorial Day weekend. I was like, you know what? Treat yourself, Sean. Treat yourself. Okay? These Instagram purchases are not enough. You need a good meal. And so you're going to drive to the Valley to get your spicy house chicken.
These veterans didn't fight for your freedom for you not to be able to go to Studio City and pick up some orange chicken. You will celebrate
Touché.
Them.
Touché. I also happen to like the drive over the Laurel Hill over Laurel Canyon. I think it's a nice drive, so whatever. It's fine. I also want to say that like the best thing that's happened so far in quarantine is that my favorite pop star in the world, Carly Rae Jepsen, dropped a new album this week.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
And I can't even tell you like the joy that it brought to my life, because I just needed like happy pop music to get me through this moment. And it was such a great moment in my life. And so it happened, and I'm
glad you're not trying to push rain on me again. No,
I'm not that kind of gay. I'm much more of like a Carly Rae Jepsen gay. Like if you listen to her music, it's just great pop music. I'm not as much of a Gaga fan. I mean, the song's fine with Ariana Grande, whatever, it's fine. But I just, that's not my jam. Much more CRJ. This is a movie podcast, and I think maybe we should get back to talking about movies.
I guess.
Yeah.
The next movie on our list is a movie that I have a lot to say about it. I do. And if it's okay with you guys, I would actually like to start, because I have one of my stream of consciousness, Sean Rant. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I need this time and this space to have my moment. So
let's do it.
Okay. That's what we're here for, boo.
Okay, thanks. So the first thing that I want to say about this movie is that when I clicked onto the screen, I saw that it was not in 4K. And my first thought was, what the fuck, Netflix? You paid all this money for this movie and you didn't buy like the 4K version, or it has to be available in 4K, right? Like any movie in 2020 was shot in 4K, right?
I don't even know what that is.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Natalie, the movie industry person.
We don't watch things in 4K, so.
Okay, well, you should, because you're missing out.
I don't have a 4K television.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm saying.
I may be gifting you one soon, because when I get my new one, I have the one in my bedroom that's also 4K that I need to get rid of, and so it might go to you guys, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I do think that it's important to note that this was not supposed to be a Netflix movie, and I think that's a really important disclaimer, because you guys know that like I feel very strongly about Netflix movies, and going in, I always have like a very specific bias toward Netflix movies, because they always are Netflix movies, and this one was not supposed to be that. And so my expectations were pretty high for this. The thing that I want to say to start this off is that I immediately did not feel that this was a realistic couple. And I am very drunk right now, so please forgive me as I get through this movie, because this is going to be, when I say the amount of martinis that I'm rating this film, It's pretty accurate. I need this many martinis to be able to talk about this movie, let alone watch it again. Okay. They had no chemistry. And I thought it was weird, because I actually enjoy both of them as actors. Like, I think that they're both great actors. They're both... what I want to say about Issa Rae in particular is that I fucking love her. The photograph, I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it yet, but it's at this point, it's shaping up to be one of my favorite movies of 2020. And it's one of the last movies I saw before quarantine. And so I feel kind of sentimental about it. But I don't know. I love her. And I enjoy him. He's funny. They had no chemistry. And I was so bothered by that throughout this entire film. Also, I have a question for you guys. Do you guys have a shared Google Calendar for your orgies? Because I feel like maybe I'm doing this wrong, because I don't. That was a joke. I spent a lot of time on that joke, and I'm not getting the feedback that I was hoping to get.
I do think people do have a shared calendar for it. So yes.
Okay, I hope so. Thank you.
I've been in quarantine, so
okay. Fair.
My calendar.
No,
my calendar's
I don't think
empty.
At this moment in time that's happening. But I think yes, previously there is a shared calendar of. They're not called orgies, I guess. They're called parties.
Okay. Well, that was an example of a joke in this movie, I think, is the moral of the story. And I think that just trust me on this, the joke actually becomes relevant later, which I thought was an interesting twist, but we'll get to that. Midway through, actually like a quarter of the way through, who's joking. This was definitely starting to feel like a Netflix movie. And I would even go so far as to say this actually was starting to feel more like a Netflix TV show, which is a whole nother story for another day. But anyway, I just think that if this is what we're going to be subjected to in our living rooms going forward, I don't want to take part in this experiment because I wasn't enjoying it. I felt that, I will say that you guys aren't laughing and I feel like this is meant to be much more funny than it is.
So I'm trying to give you
because I don't want to interrupt
to talk. Yeah
it's
normally
fine.
I interrupt your rants. Yeah.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome to interrupt my rants. I don't know. Like I'm having thoughts and stream of consciousness, and I want you guys to participate.
Okay, I was trying something new, so I'm sorry. Normally I interrupt, and I didn't want to.
Yeah, because I will say your thoughts exactly at the beginning starting this movie and them not having chemistry and liking them both individually a lot, that's exactly what I said to Lena, like, yeah, when we were watching it. I was
literally,
like,
it's exactly what she said.
Yeah. I was like, I enjoy both of them separately, but it's just not working together. Like, I see why they cast these two people, and I think this is probably a case of, like, you don't do a chemistry read and you're not seeing them on camera together and you're not seeing, like, is this a good couple? And they're both funny individually, but they don't feel like a couple. It doesn't feel real that these people have been living together and dating for
totally
4 years.
Well, that was my thought. I was like, go ahead.
If the whole premise is supposed to be that it's like, spoiler alert, they break up before all of this stuff happens in the car. And it's like you're wanting to root for them to get through this circumstance and be together in the end. It's like, I don't care if these people walk away and go date other people. Totally. I don't have a dog in the fight. You know, it totally doesn't seem like their backstory was enough of a backstory to tie me into it and feel invested. And their chemistry wasn't palpable enough from the get-go to feel like I buy into it right away.
Well, and this movie was made and even marketed long before quarantine. And so my thought was, like, was their chemistry read over Zoom? Like, how did they cast these two people together in this movie? Because it just was not, it was not good.
They could have just casted them. They could have just casted them and never had them get together.
Okay, well, that was a mistake. Yeah. I will say that him not wanting to show her his documentary actually made me think of Natalie not wanting to show us her short film. And so I had that moment where I was like, oh my God, he's Natalie, which her short film is amazing, by the way. You need to see it. If you have a link or something, Natalie, you should share that with people.
I feel like that's any filmmaker.
Probably.
I
think I had an epiphany, I think like midway through this movie. And my epiphany was that it never felt to me like these people understood the gravity of what was happening to them. And I felt like there should have been a much stronger sense of, like, panic, because if that was any of us in this situation where, like, spoiler alert, but they're like, they had nothing to do with a murder that they're, like, wrapped up in. And I just felt like, why are they not more panicked than they are? Like, they're just sitting chilling at this diner. Like, no, like, you guys should be, like, scared of, like, going in public. I don't know. It was just weird. And they had this moment.
I feel like,
go ahead.
I mean, to me, it's like, and maybe I missed a point because it was easy to miss things because you're thinking about everything else going on in life. But, like, obviously, Paul Sparks, who I love him so much, love him.
Who is that?
He's the guy, the mustache guy.
Okay.
So he gets in the car, says, I'm a cop. And then it feels very apparent. I guess I took it as like, oh, he's clearly not a cop because he just killed this guy. Yeah. And so I think had we known that he actually was a cop, and that they couldn't trust the cops,
which they don't reveal until the end.
Yeah, which they don't reveal until the end. But maybe that would be like, we can't go to the cops because one of them is a cop.
There you go. You know? I like that. Makes more sense.
But it felt like they gave us this. It was, they wanted it to be a bigger twist at the end that he really was a cop. But then I feel like it would have served the story better of them not wanting to go to the cops even more so, you know?
Yeah. So they escape from the crazy couple in the farmhouse, and now they're in the back of a drugstore trying on clothes, which I'm like, well, okay, whatever, I'll play along. I'm still not feeling any chemistry. Am I supposed to be laughing when they scan the clothes? that they're wearing, because that just that scene was like,
I thought that was funny.
I actually did not think that was funny. And then we're like on the curb with them eating the candy, and they look as bored as I feel. So like now I'm really confused. What are they doing? Is there a purpose to this movie? Like that's literally my thought in this moment. And then they get to the scene in the frat house, and I'm like, oh my God, did I date this guy? Because he looks like somebody that I went on a date with like a year ago. And I'm like, it's possible. It's LA, you know, whatever. Why is the killer from the car randomly in the frat house? Like that was the part that I did not understand. And maybe you guys can explain that to me, because I don't know how he ended up there.
He was in business with the bike guy, the bicycle guy.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I mean, he had to explain it at the end.
Yeah, and when you
have they were business partners.
Okay, when you have to explain something, it's you've lost me.
I know.
And so, okay, then there's a plot twist, and then I'm like, okay, cool. We went through all of that for what purpose exactly? Because I don't feel like it was worth it to me. God, the ending was just even more stupid than the rest of the movie. I don't know. I have nothing more to say about this. It was just, even my rant is like as bad as the movie was. Let's be honest. It's fitting.
Well, not to go back to like what, like the beginning of like your rant or whatever, but like when you say like these two, like I don't really know Issa Rae, like I don't know her and her comedy or who she is. I mean, I know who she is, but like I haven't really watched her in anything.
She's really hot
and
right now, Lena.
I know she is. Like I can see why. I was just gonna say, like, I can see why she is hot. I actually really liked her from this movie, and I want to watch her because there's something about her I really enjoyed about her. Like she just, there's a draw to her, and I get it.
She has a great screen presence.
Me, I love Kamal. I loved him for years. I love him still. They definitely had no chemistry. But for me, I do feel like when you said like they didn't have any like fear or they didn't. I don't know if it's me and maybe because I don't know her as well. But like I felt like he was giving a little bit more in most scenes.
Oh yeah.
But maybe that's just Kamal. I don't know. Yes. But I do feel like he was giving a little bit more, and she really wasn't giving she really wasn't coming to his level. Mm-hmm. Not to say that she was bad. Again, I don't know her, but I still really liked her. But like I just don't feel like they were ever on the same page. Now, is that because of their relationship was never on the same page? Whatever. But like I just feel like even their acting wasn't on the same page. Like Kamal, to me, I was like, he's really giving Kamal right now. Like, this is, was it written for him? And then she just came in because she's hot right now? Like, but then they had no chemistry? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was my, like, rant in my head about it, because I was like, I feel like he's given it. And Kamal can carry this movie. Like, I feel like he's carrying this movie.
Oh, he definitely carried the movie.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but I'm just like, yeah, he's great.
No, in a bad way. He literally carried this movie like over the finish line on his back. Like well,
yeah,
and then
I will say, like there were times where he like was more emotional and you could see it in his eyes. And you know, I think you have two people that have the ability to improv and be funny, and it just kind of, it felt like, okay, we're going to put you two in this scenario, and you guys are just going to banter back and forth, and that's going to, we're going to fall on the merits of your guys' improv and comedic ability and not actually tell the story. I don't know. It would just, and it didn't, a lot of the beats that were supposed to be funny just didn't really land.
Well, can she be funny though?
The mask, and they had the mask on it, a thing, and then it was like, you're right, maybe about the improv thing where they're like, let's just let them like say things and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then even him, he goes, where's the beef? And it's like, why is that funny?
Yeah.
Well, like, can she be funny though? Because I've never seen her.
Her mouth? That's not funny.
I've never seen her funny though. Like I haven't watched Insecure, which is the show that she's on HBO, admittedly. But like,
she's supposed to be funny.
Is she funny? Because I don't know if she's a comedic actor. Huh? No, I don't know, Natalie.
I don't know.
To me, like there were moments that I thought she like was funny, but it just felt misplaced, you know. Yeah. And so it's like I feel like just by watching this, I'm like, okay, you can do it. but you guys weren't guided or directed the right way. And, you know, I think that's probably, again, lack of direction, where it's like Kamal's hitting a certain level. She's not matching that. And right. It just kind of felt like you're never really with them together. It was very separate, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, totally. And I think that, like, spoiler alert, but at the end you realize this actually was a TV show. And so I felt like, for me, that actually brought it full circle. When you saw them on The Amazing Race, you're like, okay, I get it. This is the joke's on me. It's fine. I don't know.
I love Kamal. I love...
I don't get it. What do you mean? Am I drunk?
It ended on The Amazing Race. They were contestants on the show.
The joke throughout the movie was that they...
So the whole time it was the race?
No,
the joke throughout the whole movie is the joke throughout the movie is that they couldn't be on The Amazing Race together because they were incompatible and they were fighting all the time. And so
I get that. Yeah. I thought you meant like the whole fucking thing was, and I was like, what, are you kidding me? No.
It's a joke, Lena. It's me setting up the joke and failing. It's just the jokes.
Well, you're talking to a dumb dumb over here.
My comedy skills are not on par with my normal self. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's fine.
I just, one thing I will say, like, I do love the, like, what they're trying to do with, like, casting and, like, you know, he's from Pakistan, she's an African-American woman. I love that it's not just two white people cast in this, and it's like we're giving a platform and there's an audience out there for it and there's an appetite for it and we want to see more diversity. And yeah, I love Kamal, and I think he's so funny, and I want to see him as a leading man. And I hope that how this movie ended up turning out doesn't ruin more opportunities for that in the future.
And I want to see her as a leading woman. If you guys watch the photograph, like, the photograph is such
an amazing... Yeah, I really want to see it.
It's in my movie collection. You guys have access to it. It's such a great film. Like, I love both of them in that movie, and it's just... I don't know. It's like the perfect romantic dramedy. Like, it's a really good movie. Yeah.
I think the director, unfortunately, was given things that he didn't know what to do with it. And maybe. I also, as much as, like, I love New Orleans and, you know, very recently spent a lot of time there. And I don't even feel like they captured New Orleans on film. I feel like it could have been shot in fucking Toronto.
They were in.
Natalie, you spread COVID in New Orleans.
I did spread my COVID all over New Orleans.
Actually, very much did.
But I still, like, to me, it didn't capture the magic of that city, the people of the city, any of that. And so it was a little bit of a missed opportunity. And it's like, and I know that they shot there. So it's like,
and
to me,
I really do feel you're right. Because halfway through, I totally forgot they were even in New Orleans.
And you shouldn't forget that they're in New Orleans.
No, New Orleans is a city that, like, you take advantage of if you're filming there.
Yeah, it's just like
favorite place. I
love it. Why didn't you just fucking shoot in Toronto then and pretend like that was New Orleans?
Oh,
like,
this movie could have been filmed in any city. Absolutely.
I know. Yeah. I know.
In fact, so going back to the New Orleans thing really quick, the photograph makes use of New Orleans. Like, you'll appreciate that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Watch it. It's phenomenal. It's such a good movie. It's such a good movie. And I love him. Oh my God. I love him so much.
So also, like, I just want to point out Michael Showalter, who directed the movie and is a writer, producer. He was the actor. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him in Wet Hot American Summer. So he was a part of the team of people that created that show and the movie.
I love that kind of stuff.
And so to me, I've always looked at him, and he did The Big Sick, but I feel like that was Kamal, and that was Kamal's story, and I feel like this is going to sound so shitty, and I don't mean it to sound shitty, but I feel like Michael pointed a camera and got real lucky, you know, like, I don't think he brought anything to the table. I think Kamal could have done that with anybody else, you know, and... So I think he probably got a little bit of credit for...
Kamal is a star. Kamal is a star.
Yeah, and I think that story was Kamal's voice, and the comedy was Kamal, and I don't think it was him. And that's just my opinion, and maybe other people don't feel the same way. But then you've got a story like this, and it's like, I don't feel like you brought anything to the table. And you actually did kind of a shit job with some great elements that you had access to.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you had two incredibly talented actors, and I stick to that.
In a fucking gorgeous city, and I don't. How do you mess that up?
I mean, in a movie like this, I think to your point, like the city, you have a real opportunity for the city to be a character, right? There's so many films where the city is like a lead character in the film. And that was wasted in this film. To your point, it could have been filmed in Toronto for all I know.
Not that this matters, but I have a weird question. So the couple that was like trying to like burn them with the bacon grease or whatever, Anna Camp and the other guy who I love, they didn't use him enough. They put a mask on him right away and he didn't do anything else, right? And no. Then she gave that lady the photos. So where the fucking photos go? Is that for the photograph? Are they switching movies here? Like, is that, I don't understand. Like, what happened to the fucking photos? Like, yeah. They didn't even use that.
There was no purpose to that. And okay, I think I think that scene was actually a metaphor for this film because there was no purpose to this film. Like, that it's just
like, I'm now thinking back. I'm like, what the fuck happened to that?
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. And he's such a funny actor. And I was like excited when we saw him come in. And then it's like to just not even really use him at all. I was like,
I was like,
there's got to be scenes of him cut because that kind of seems a little crazy that's all he was in this for.
Yeah, there's no way.
I don't know about you guys, but by the time we get to the spoiler alert, but by the time we get to the police station where you see like the detective that's been calling her the whole time or whatever, and you realize that like, oh, they're not suspects. I was so disoriented in that scene because I was like, what? Like, what's going on? I didn't understand where we were in the film at that point. And maybe I'd had too much wine. I don't know. It's possible. But I just...
And again, wouldn't that have been way more impactful if we had actually known that this guy was a cop? He was working with the cops. Yes. They couldn't go to him. They couldn't get caught.
He should have shown up in that room. Totally. Room as a cop, as a detective, and like sat there and stared at them. And but they would have been like,
But if that happens, then you don't have... Intriguing. But then yeah, if, you don't go to the end. You don't have the payoff in the next scene where he's in the car driving them, right? So I don't know. It was just... I think that it was a good premise. And I think even with different casting, as much as I love these two actors, again, I want to reiterate that because I really do. It could have been a different type of movie. But it fell short in every aspect that I can think of. And I was like, I just left so disappointed. And then the final scene where you see them like on The Amazing Race or whatever, I'm just like, okay, this was stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that last question? I don't understand what she was so hung up on.
What do you mean?
Like at the end of the movie where she's like reading the last question, and then they were like,
oh, well, because he had to get on a horse. He had to do something with a horse. Yeah.
Never mind.
To me, like, I, as much as I like her, I'm like, somebody like Keke Palmer that I think has a little bit more energy and youthfulness to her, I feel like would have been. I also felt like.
Love Keke Palmer.
Yeah, I think they could have been really fun together. So it just, to me, Issa almost played maybe older than I felt.
Older, yeah. And I feel like they're probably the same age, but like some reason
she just felt more mature, which I guess is the characters too, that it's like he's always been afraid that she's had her life together forever. You know, I don't know.
Do you know who I would have loved to see in this film? And I think actually playing opposite him, it could have actually been much exponentially more comedic. And I have an affinity toward her, so forgive me, but I would have loved to have seen Tiffany Haddish in this role because I feel like she brings that like awkward, comedic, like there's something about her that's just like inherently funny that I think despite even a lack of chemistry, it could have just been a funnier movie with her in this role.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if she, I feel like she goes too much off the rails though.
But I wanted that in this.
One thing about Tiffany is she goes a little too much off.
But didn't you want this to be? Didn't you want this to be a little more screwball comedy than it was? Like, it was almost like I was watching a drama unfold, but I wasn't. Like, it was supposed to be a comedy, and I feel like we kept forgetting that. I was watching
a romantic comedy, though. So what I wanted was someone that compliments him in a more of a romantic way, as well as the comedy way. So like. I don't know. I guess for me, I was just like, I when they like kiss, I want to feel that they really like each other.
No, totally. Like, I didn't feel like they liked each other at all.
No, I felt
in a relationship the whole time.
And to Lena's point, talking about Kumail's, like how he was bringing it and she wasn't, even in that scene, I remember when they're in the back of the ambulance mm-hmm. and she's like, you're giving me that look. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Cause I feel it. I feel like he's giving me the look, but she wasn't looking like she wanted it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-mm. All right. Let's score
I'm
this
like,
one.
I want it. Yeah, guys, I love Kamal.
Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, we're done.
All right. I'm at a 4. Curious to get your thoughts.
I'm at a 3.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Let's move on to our final segment, which is stream or quarantine. And in this day and age, I think that pretty much any movie is worth
everything's the stream.
Anything's what the fuck else are you doing? Come on, people. Yep. These movies, as much as I didn't love either of them, they both get a stream because I'm, again, what else are you doing? It's fine. They're fine.
There's parts of them that will make you like happy and laugh, and it's lighthearted. It's not intense. You don't have to pay attention.
Here's my point though, Lena. I think you just used a really important word just now, and this is why I'm giving the Lovebirds a stream as opposed to a quarantine. You don't have to pay. So you saved. You saved $20. By watching this on Netflix. So go for it. It's fine.
Yeah. Make yourself a rose martini and make yourself a pitcher of 6 of them.
Seriously.
And do 3 per movie and you'll be fine.
Just power through both movies.
Yeah. And you'll have a great time watching these things.
You know what? I honestly suggest Lovebirds first. So you kind of get that out of the way and then go to Wrong Missy and you'll be like, okay, well, that evens everything out.
I
bet you if you did a double feature of those movies, like Laura and the Wrong Missy will be fucking hysterical after 4 or 5 martinis. You will think it's the funniest thing ever.
I would also say that here's my recipe, right? Okay, so here we go. So I think you start with the Lovebirds. Halfway into the Lovebirds, you take an edible. Maybe just like microdose your edible. I don't know. Do what makes you happy. By the time you get to the Wrong Missy, is that what it's called?
Wrong. Okay. Got it right.
The Wrong Nanny.
The other nanny. By the time you get to the other nanny, you're gonna be in a good place and you're gonna feel good and you're gonna fucking laugh your ass off because it's gonna be hilarious to you.
Because she gives it her all. Talk about an actress that gives it her all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she put it all out there. Really
She's no Issa Rae. That's what I'm going to say.
They're not the same.
So stream these. They're on Netflix. They're free. If you're watching
stream
Netflix,
them, watch them.
You're paying
laugh,
for it.
Don't laugh.
Yeah.
Drink a martini. That's it.
All right. Next week, like I said, we're going to be talking about the favorite TV shows that we're streaming. And I am really excited about this episode because I've been streaming a lot of shit. Not a big TV show guy, but there's been some great shows during quarantine.
Yeah, I realized. I was like, oh, shit, I got to add one of these things on here. I totally didn't even put it on the list.
No.
Anyway, well, you guys aren't going to care about it, but I love it.
Well, that's all that matters, Lena, as long
that's
as you
all
know
that matters.
It.
Yeah.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers!